Luke and John.
Something especially important.
Yay, Jesus. So here I have a, I have this memory. I want to connect it with our reading on scripture this morning on Palm Sunday. So I remember, probably seemed like a lot. We did it a lot 15, 20 years ago, where we would go off in these, at work, in these off-sites, we called them. Get away from the office. We'd bring in these facilitators. And usually you're getting together because you're trying to connect more. You're trying to be better people. You're trying to be more productive. Maybe there's some tension in the office. And you're like, we're going to work through the tension. And, you know, and there's always some facilitator who gets up there and, like, introduce yourself, tell us what your favorite flower is or something, you know. Have you ever done those? And I always thought they were a little goofy. I'm like, come on. And but the thing is, like, we're just going to break down some things here so we can connect with each other, really, so we can communicate with each other. And I'm in one of these sessions. It's a it's a work one. And this they make this statement, this facilitator, and the facilitator says this. They said, the root cause of all conflict is the violation of expectation.
Say that again.
The root cause, it looks Willie's here. My Willie, you wanna help her in there? Right? Here we go, say it again. The root cause of all conflict is the violation of expectation. I have no idea, like, why that's stuck in my head. I mean, I can see the person saying it. I never forget it. I never wrote it down, I don't think. And but I always remember this, like, oh my gosh. So when that happens, this is important to me, right? So, but can you kind of break it apart and go, oh, I see that. Mm-hmm. Here, let's put it in the context of husband and wife that are crash, right? Here's, I thought you were supposed to do this. These are the things I expect from you. Not being guy girl here, but, and you didn't do it. And it causes me to get angry, causes me to get mad, it causes me to react, right? You didn't do this, right? So I have an expectation of you, you didn't do it. That's your job, okay? You didn't do it. Root cause of all conflict is the violation of expectation. Okay? Let's connect it with this, right? So let me set some context here for Palm Sunday, right? So Lazarus, what happens with Lazarus?
Dies,
and Jesus comes and raises him from the dead. Yeah, in fact, last weekend when we were at Darla's brother's house, we actually read scripture. We were reading scripture together. This was one of the, we read a lot of this scripture around Lazarus. And it's like, yay, Lazarus, right? So in John, because I just want to set up, we're getting to Palm Sunday here. Let me get, oops. Right, so, oops. So in John 11 is when you read about the death of Lazarus. But here's what happens after he gets raised from the dead. There's a bunch of narcs in the crowd. There's a bunch of tattletales in the crowd, right? It says that this miracle happens totally. I mean, it's like this shocking. It grabs everybody's hearts. People are probably weeping and crying and like, right? It says many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. This is one of those holy smokes moments, right? OMG moments, right? But some of them went away to the Pharisees, here's the narcs, right? And told them the things Jesus did. Actually says a few verses down, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death, right? Here's one of those violation of expectations, right? Because the Pharisees had an expectation. They had a God box, right? Here's who God is. Here's what God does. Here's the rules for God. What's happening? You violated those rules. Conflict, right? They violated the expectation of the Pharisees, right? What happens right after this thing, right? So we're getting rid of this guy, right? We're at Mary and Martha and Lazarus's house, okay? Just raised from the dead. They're having dinner together. Lazarus is sitting at the table with Jesus, right?
Says then,
scripture tells us that people were they heard the story. They're actually coming. You can probably just about see him looking through the windows like, no kidding, he's right there, right? So they're sitting at the table having dinner. Scripture tells us Lazarus sitting at the table with Jesus having dinner. And it's Martha serving them dinner. It's at this moment in Scripture, Mary anoints Jesus' feet. Okay? And you're like, whoa, what is that about, right? It says a great many of the Jews that were there, they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but they might also see Lazarus, right? Whom he had raised from the dead, looking through the window.
Wow.
What's Mary doing? Anointing him. Here we go again. The chief priests plotted. They plotted to put Lazarus to death also. Scripture tells us this, right? So here we are, the setup for Palm Sunday. That was just some number of days before Passover.
Wow.
So let me shift to Matthew 21, where you can read it. You can read about this entrance in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll read it out of Matthew. Now when they drew near Jerusalem, so Bethany's about a two-hour walk to Jerusalem. So can you see Jesus and the team walking right to Jerusalem? Mm-hmm. And they came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives. This Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches. Palm. This is where we get Palm Sunday. Okay. Cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Yay, God, thanks for that. Thank you for your word. Here's a question, though. So what expectations? What were the people expecting when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, right? When they threw down their clothes and their palm branches and they're shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Right? I'll tell you. They were expecting him to come and crush the Romans. Take out these guys that are tormenting us. Come and crush the Roman Empire, right? Liberate us. Come and free us. Come and we are oppressed by these guys. Come and get rid of them, right? They were wrong, right? And only a few days later, what are they shouting?
Crucifying,
right? Mm-hmm. Expectations, violation of expectations, right? Did I tell you? Violation of expectation is the root cause of all conflict, okay? Violation of expectation is the root cause of all conflict. So, expectation. So they're putting this expectation on God, right? What are we putting on him? Hey, this is what I think you should do. Right? You know how I frame that? I have a God box. I have discovered God. I have figured out how he works. I've got the mystery all answered right here, right? So in my God box, ta-da, God, here's what I need you to do, okay? Because I have sorted out all my theology, I have constructed all the answers of how he works and who he is.
Sounds arrogant.
Huh, does it now? We do that though. Right? In fact, I was just having this conversation with a guy at the office just a few weeks ago about, it's almost like, well, God can't do that. Well, who says he can't? God wouldn't do that. Who says he wouldn't do that? Heck, God's breaking my mind every time I turn around, right? God's breaking my rules, my God box. I remember having this conversation with a person up in Reading, actually, at Bethel Church, and they said, and it was one of those, this lady, she's looking at me. So it seems to me like you put God in this really tight kind of space that he can't operate outside of your understanding. Oops. God can't surprise you. God isn't mysterious. Because he only fits in your box that says, as long as I can understand him, God can live right here. Right? Remember telling me, do you want to blow up that box? Yeah, right? Because if he doesn't come through on our expectations, God, here's what I need you to do. Right? Oh, magic genie, right? Rub the lamp. Here's what I need you to do. What happens if he doesn't come through on our expectations, mm-hmm. right? With my limited understanding, I get disappointed. Worse yet, I probably get disillusioned. We end up, well, I don't want to be with a God like that. Didn't answer to my needs, right? To my understanding, right? So I want to change your thought here. Instead of thinking about expectations, let's talk about expectancy. Mm. Okay? Right?
Oh, that's good.
Because expectancy says, my future's in his hands. Expectancy says, he gets the privilege, he gets the allowance, he gets the freedom to do more than I could ever ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20 says that, more than I ever can ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, his power that works in us. Which way do you think is better? God gets to perform according to my expectations, or actually say, God, live outside my box, go do great things, right? So, here, I want to focus, though. I want to look at something in this verse, as I just read to you in Matthew 21. I want to read it out of the Passion Translation, one verse for you. I want to read verse 9. Out of the Passion, it says this. Jesus rode in the center of the procession, crowds going before him and crowds coming behind him, and they all shouted, "Bring the victory, Lord, Son of David. He comes with the blessings of being sent from the Lord Yahweh. We celebrate with praises to God in the highest." Remember the Hosanna, right? I'll read it again. Here's the words there. "Bring the victory, Lord, Son of David. Right? So I looked it up. Hosanna. Because how many Easter time sermons you've been to? Hosanna. Hosanna.
I thought it was glory to God.
Hosanna. Hosanna. And we would actually have these chants in church. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna, right? Commentary said, okay, Hosanna. What is it? It's Aramaic. It literally means save us. It means bring victory, God.
Wow.
It means
okay.
Rescue us. Right? The crowds are recognizing Jesus. He's Yahweh's Messiah, right? They're shouting, Son of David. Right? They're making it really clear. My expectation here is you're going to crush the Romans. You're going to overthrow the Romans' oppression. You're going to set this nation free. Right? They're wanting victory before the cross. They're wanting victory before the cross, before resurrection. Right? How about we say it this way? They're saying Hosanna. They're saying bring us victory, God. Victory before the cross. And I would just tell you this: victory comes after resurrection. Okay, victory comes after resurrection. Right? They saw Jesus ride into Jerusalem. They expected a victory without the cross, and they're missing what God's doing. They didn't understand, you know, Paul tells us about it as you read, you know, look, there's no victory without death. You can't have new life without death, right? So here's just a thought for you. And it's maybe just some things for you to ponder this week in your quiet times. Is there something that I'm looking for victory in my life? I'm waiting for victory. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't require the cross. What has to die before new life can happen inside of me? Is there something standing in the way, right? God's wanting to put something to death so you can experience breakthrough in this place in your life, in this new area, right? Am I holding on to some expectations? I've got my God box. Am I holding on to some expectations in here? Remember the lady said, "Do you want to blow that up? Get rid of the box." Because it's kind of holding you back from God doing something cool, right? Is there something that needs to die, something that needs to blow up so you can receive the more from God? Maybe you need to let go of some doubts. Maybe they're fears or maybe they're phobias.
It could be the expectation itself.
You better believe it. Maybe it's like, maybe it's an attitude that you're like, maybe if you reflect on it, you're like, man, I'm a negative person. Maybe you're like, you're negative Nelly, right? Maybe it's anger. Maybe you're, you know, you don't see it, but you've been hearing it from your spouse or a friend that you blow up, you're getting mad a lot, okay? Maybe you get angry too easily. How about forgiveness? Just some thoughts here. Just throwing out, I don't know, right? Forgiveness. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. It's holding you back. You're in this little box, your expectation box for God. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Is that what you sort of said, like this, your thought about me in here. Maybe there's a broken relationship that needs to be restored. Maybe you're blaming other people for your problems. If old so-and-so wasn't here doing this, right? Maybe you're thinking the other person has to change before things will get better. I love Danny Silk's writing on all this kind of stuff, by the way. My freedom and breakthrough isn't contingent upon that person saying yes to this or that, right? Maybe I've been playing the victim instead of taking responsibility for my life, right? God's, again, Danny Silk, man, we're powerful people. We were called to be powerful people. And instead of being powerful people, we end up, hey, well, you're the problem, and you're the problem, and you're the problem. It's like not walking in our power at all because we're so busy blaming other people.
You're giving them control over your joy or content.
How about this? How about looking in the mirror at yourself? Mm. Does how I see myself need to change? Maybe I have a really stinky perception of myself, right? Maybe I'm caught in this argument with God about what he says about me. God says you're awesome, and you're like, you're busy arguing with God like you're nuts. God says you're accepted, and you're like, not a chance. Look how messed up I am. God's right. We have these arguments with God all day long about our sonship, what he says about us, right? Again, what's my expectation that needs to like be go? What do I need to blow up? What has to die for new life? Okay, that's the question here. What about habits? Addictions, maybe. It doesn't have to be drinking and smoking.
It could be cookies.
Well, it doesn't, right, but it's maybe it's not even a thing you're consumed. Maybe it's just a behavior, a pattern, right? Maybe it's a laziness. Maybe it's a lack of discipline. Maybe it's just maybe there's this thing of just an anger problem or a irritating problem. Maybe you just have to change the way I've been doing things. Here you go. Somebody tell me, what's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Yeah. Right. So maybe we get caught in that loop. It's like, well, I don't know why this keeps happening. Well, it's like maybe we need to change something we've been doing, right? What has to die for new life? Right? Maybe it's like, do I need to move from here where I'm stuck to here? Maybe I'm in a rut. Maybe I'm in this hole. And it's like, maybe this behavior I've got right here, it's like, get out of your hole. Let's just take one step. Go here, okay? What do I need to let go of? I bet we can just sit here and go ka-chunk, ka-chunk, and this list. We could keep adding on to this list, couldn't we? Right? It's clearly not exhaustive. Like, what has to die? There's this, it's like, is there something we're holding on to? What are we looking for? We're looking for an upgrade. I want the more. I want the fresh wind. I want the prophetic words. I want the dreams and visions. I want the wake up in the morning and go, oh, I want to dance. I want to be happy. I want joy. I want this overwhelming. And that's what he says I get. I read scripture. It's what he says, but I'm not experiencing it. Is it possible we're in this place, right? Where we're like, put him in a box. And it's like, something's got to die here for new life. Are we expecting breakthrough without the cross? Do I have an expectation that this has to change? Okay, right? It's, look, it's a compelling why. We live like this all the time. It's like, oh my goodness. But it's a lie, just the same, right? So
yeah,
let me go back to my
change, but sometimes we want change our way, not his way.
Right.
It's
so,
like you get an update through your computer.
Yeah.
And it comes from the manufacturer, God, you know? And say, okay, upgrade. And then what you get isn't what you expect.
Right.
So here's
a different operating system.
It doesn't, yeah. They've upgraded your system, everything works better, but it's not the way you want it to be.
That's a great example.
So let me tie this thing back into my opening statement when I said that facilitator in this offsite with leaders. The root cause of all conflict was the violation of expectations. Okay. So we have conflict in our life. Right? We have things that it's like, I can't get rid of this shame. I can't get rid of this guilt. Conflict. I can't get rid of this fear. I can't get rid of this rejection. Conflict. These are these root things inside of us, right? Why is that there? Well, here we go. Violation of expectation. Is there a lie I put in this box? And I will tell you my Danny's opinion. The lie is, remember the two questions I always tell you to ask? Who is he? Who am I? Mm-hmm. Right? We have a box. My aspect. And then our box is pretty small. In that box, am I believing a lie about who he is? Mm. Am I believing a lie about me? Right? Because he tells me he's a good father. He is a savior, and he's gooder than good. He's gooder than you think. His goodness, it goes, and his love, scripture says, knows no end. Right? He's his love is bigger than you can get your head around. Way bigger than your box. Right? And then what does he say about me? He says, oh, you're my favorite. He says, you're my daughter. Oh, I use fun words for you. I call you righteous. When I look at you, I think, oh, you're holy. You're set apart. You're perfect. Right? What was the statement that Francois said? He said, faith is not a decision.
Discovery.
It's a discovery of how known, how loved we are. Right? It's like, so all this comes after the cross, mm-hmm. right? It's because he freed us from broken thinking, mm-hmm. right? You're living in these old expectations. God, I need a genie, not a God, not a father, right? So our greatest freedoms come when we learn to let go of what's holding on, right? What's holding us back, right? Here's the good news, and I'll just stop with this. It's the Easter good news, right? That's what's waiting for us on the other side is unimaginably better. and it's well worth what God is asking us to let go of. And so I wanna be one who lives with expectancy that he's bigger than bigger than anything I've ever seen. His love is like, I'll never get my head around it. His forgiveness is like, wow, I don't deserve it. But yet he says that what sin I've already forgiven your sin. Everything was dealt with at the cross. So with that, I'll just, wouldn't it be cool to walk into Easter morning with the more? Wouldn't it be awesome to wake up with this fresh, this expectancy of this abundance of joy, of love that overwhelms and overflows, that you're unoffendable. You're unoffendable because he's poured so much into us. So we just say yes to new life, the gift of new life, and we die to self. We die to the old man. We blow up our expectations, the small things we put on him, and we just live in expectancy today. Because the God that's in us is greater than anything we've ever experienced. So we just say yes to resurrection power in our life. Amen. Yeah.